Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
So very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. So then, coming up on tonight's programme, shortly we'll hear from former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan, currently with Derrickview. We'll look ahead to Harps match with Tralee tomorrow night, and we'll talk about his transfer from the League of Ireland to the Irish League. Also on the show in studio, Sean McFadden will be talking about the Donegal Ultra Race. The competitors are set to tackle 555 kilometres and 333 kilometres around the coastline of Donegal in a mammoth challenge which starts at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. Plus Eugene Organ will be on the programme later to look ahead to the Donegal Hurling Finals which are taking place this coming Saturday. But first up, we're going to start with soccer this evening, and on the European front, it's been not a bad night for Derry City, not a bad afternoon. It was 8 o'clock kickoff in Kazakhstan for their tie with Tobol in the third round qualification of the Europa Conference League. It was 3 o'clock Irish time. The game ended in a 1-0 victory for the home side Tobol, and it was a cracking strike in the second half, which was the only goal that separated the two sides in the tie. Derry, of course, will have the second leg, the return leg, at home, but it's not going to be at the Brandywell. It's going to be played at the Talla Stadium in Dublin. But still, Derry, despite the defeat, are still very much in this tie. And speaking a short time after the full-time whistle, Derry boss Rory Higgins says that they are still in with a shout of progressing through to the next phase of Europe.
I felt there wasn't much in the game at all. I felt that they put us under a bit of pressure as the home team early in the game, and we weathered the storm a bit. And as the game settled, we settled. And as I said, I thought it was a very, very even contest. It's an absolute wonder goal that's put them in front. But coming home with their travel, all that sort of stuff, it gives us a real, real fighting chance of going through to the playoff. And that's what we wanted coming out here. We wanted the tie to be alive going home. I thought particularly second half, we controlled a lot of the game and looked better. And we had one or two really good opportunities ourselves to equalise. But really proud of the efforts of the players and what they put into the game. A long few days, but extremely proud, and it sets it up nicely for next week. In relation to their physicality, we knew coming into the game that they're a real physical team, and we expected that. We knew what was coming, and but our players again stood up and looked after ourselves, and particularly in the second half, I thought we put in a really courageous performance and passed the ball better than what we did in the first half, and had a few opportunities to go home with a 1-1 draw, but as I said, we give ourselves real hope and optimism for next week, and that's what we wanted coming home. Hopefully we can take a huge travelling contingent from Derry down to Dublin and get as much red and white and Talla as possible, and that's what we would love. It would give the players a huge lift and everyone on left, and let's see, can we do something spectacular and get ourselves through.
That's Derry City boss Rory Higgins speaking after the 1-0 defeat following the first leg, which was played out of Kazakhstan against Tobol earlier today. Well, joining me now is a sports writer from the city of Derry in the form of Kevin McLaughlin, who was watching this game with a lot of interest this afternoon. And listen, Kevin, even though it's a defeat, that's not a bad result away from home for Derry in Europe.
No, there's a notion. To be fair, Derry played well, had chances, particularly in the second half. Michael Duffy had an unbelievable chance, rounded the last man, keeper to beat me, hit the side netting. That was a glorious chance to make it warm each, and that changes the attack completely. Now, don't get me wrong, Brian Barr made a few crucial saves at 0-0, and there was nothing he could do but the goal, as Rory Higgins alluded to, the left-back just top drawer, hit the underside of the bar and on the top corner. No keeper would have saved it. But look, it's all they play for now at Tala, and unfortunately I'm saying Tala because if it hadn't been at the Brandywell, I would have strongly fancied Derry to overturn the 1-0 deficit because the Brandywell would have been rocking. I'm not saying that Tala will not be rocking, but it's a completely different ballgame having to go to Tala rather than being at the Brandywell.
Yeah, but listen, there was a lot of encouragement from that game today, Kevin, particularly that second half performance where you could argue that maybe Derry were the better of the two sides, and the home side, Tobol, will be disappointed that it's just 1-0 that they didn't win by. They were looking for a far better result having to come to Ireland.
Oh, definitely. You know, they get an unbelievable performance in Basel. A couple of men sent off in their first league game, which Tobol won 3-1. And they scored a couple of penalties, saying they lost the home leg to Basel 2-1, but they went through, obviously, 4-3 then, so that got them through. But you're right, they wanted to come to the Ireland with a much better advantage than what they're bringing. And they'll also know that Derry is probably their strongest team, wasn't even on the pitch. He had brought on Patrick Magallini, who's this Achilles problem, Cameron Dunnigan, picked up an injury out in Coops last week in Finland. He only managed to make the bench, so he's been a big player. So no, look, they're going to know themselves that it's going to be a tough game for them. The big Tala pitch, the good surface at Tala too, will definitely suit Derry to get the ball down, and they've got a few memorable nights down at Tala playing Shamrock Rovers, so they'll be looking for another one. The pitch, to be honest, just watching it on the stream, as you say, the Kazakhstan pitch was absolutely diabolical. They looked like they had the grass long for when they were playing Basel. And by the looks of it, the groundsman went off on his holidays and didn't come back to cut it this week neither, because the pitch looks shocking. So the Tala pitch, these boys are really going to see what a pitch is like. And as I say, Derry will be happy to get the ball down that big Tala pitch.
Would you have taken a 1-0 defeat at the start of the day?
Oh, 100%. You know, before a ball was kicked, you were taking a narrow defeat and it all to play for. And that's obviously Rory Higgins was never going to say he wanted a narrow defeat, but he did say he wanted the tie to be alive, and it's well and truly alive. We're not saying that Tobol's going to come here and Derry's going to roll them over. That's not the case at all. Tobol, on the counter attack, they have players. Every coach striker looks sharp up front. So no, they're still going to be, you know, a dangerous opposition. At the end of the day, they're coming to Tala knowing that two results get them through. Obviously, a victory they're through, and a draw they're through, so they're happy with that. But no, Derry have a lot of encouragement. They had the chances. They had a big shot for a penalty too. Patching was brought down, wasn't given. The referee was a wee bit lenient at times too. There was a few late challenges going on the Derry players, and they weren't cautioned. There was a lot of yellow cards dished out, but there was quite a few that could have been dished out more, where the ref just seen the referee school, the Austrian referee. But no, look, as I say, if you're asking Rory Higgins, get the tie alive, hopefully bring a big crowd to Tala. I would also expect Dublin League of Ireland fans to come to Tala. I would say they see the game. If you're a football fan, you're living down there, you're going to go to the game. But the tie is definitely still alive, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And the buzz is set to continue around the city as well. It's fantastic for the supporters of Derry being involved in such a big stage.
Well, surely. They're really looking at the next round. There's WhatsApp groups as we speak with them on you, looking there that Victoria Pilsen are 2-0 up against the Maltese team, who Derry or Tobin will play in the next round. So yeah, They're already talking about even the playoff round. So it looks as if you get through, you're probably going to go to the Czech Republic. They play Victoria Pilsen. So look, that's what the buzz is about. The big thing is now Rory and the players are travelling as we speak. They'll arrive on the City Derry Airport in the early hours of this morning, and then it's back to bread and butter, and it's you're playing Drogheda on Sunday at the Brandywell. You have to get the Rory's alluded, he has to get the Brandywell rocking on Sunday just to keep this going, because you want to get into the European time of momentum, but more importantly, you're still a missed out this league title. Yeah. You know, if you can get a victory, you're closing the gap, and you're only four, well, at the minute you're 7 behind Shamrock Rovers, but you have a game in hand. So it's just keeping the momentum going, the feel good factor, and just bringing it on, everything on the end of Tala next Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Kevin, it's despite defeat, it's been a half-decent night for Derry City. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, Martin. Cheers.
There you go. Well, that's journalist and sports writer in the city of Derry, Kevin McLaughlin, reflecting on that result where Derry are trailing 1-0 ahead of the second leg at home next week. Let's stay with soccer. And in this week's Football Chat, I've been joined by Keith Cowan, who recently left Finn Harps and signed with Derrickview. Keith will be looking ahead to Harps' game tomorrow night against Treaty United in the First Division as the Balbuffet side look to bounce back following the loss to Athlone Town on Monday. But first, he discusses his move to the County Tyrone outfit. Well, Keith, thanks for coming in the studio. Good to see you.
Cheers, Ashley. Thank you.
And listen, you're at Derrickview, played your first game for the Irish League Championship side last week. Before we talk about that, gone from Finn Harps, you were the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Why the move, Keith? Why the departure?
I suppose there's a couple of reasons. You know, it was kind of touted that Adele was saying that people must be thinking that she has you by the proverbials, because as soon as Hallie arrived, I had to stop football altogether. That the way it was played out. But no, not the case at all. Just, I suppose, the commitment level that Harps requires. And, you know, like, if you're the captain, I suppose, you know, you have to be there, you have to be all in. And, you know, it's just, I suppose, the time constraint of that. And then maybe going back to work as well, now the end of August, and some big trips ahead. And look, I didn't want to be doing a sort of half-arsed, I suppose, the phrase I could use. So I thought it was maybe better to, I suppose, step aside. And, you know, obviously a couple of conversations with Dave, the manager, and with my family as well. Maybe it was the right time.
Yeah. Well, the game time was a wee bit limited towards the end of that term. How disappointing was it for you, Keith, that it came to an end so abruptly, because you only arrived back in December, you were given the captain's armband, and then just over 6 months later, you're gone from Finn Park for what, a third time, was it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, kind of when you get to a certain age as well, like, game time is very important, and you know, to do all that, to make all that sacrifice, and maybe not play as much as you wanted, you know, that's difficult as well. Every game is probably precious when you get to my age or my stage of the career. And, you know, Derrickview offered me the opportunity maybe to, you know, prolong that maybe in a league that isn't as demanding in terms of my time, in terms of travel as well. So that's something that I, you know, was glad to take up. And I've been there almost 2 weeks now, and actually I'm really enjoying it. There's a good group there, good group of lads. Some former teammates of mine, Gareth Harkin in particular, that had, you know, some great times at Harps with, and, you know, we did quite well at our time there. So to sort of link back up with him was another draw. And I suppose working with Tommy Cannon again, who was a Harps coach formerly, you know, who knows the league well, is a good football man, and you know, he's been great, and I suppose maybe instrumental in maybe getting me there.
Yep. How would you compare, you've only played one game, mm-hmm. but what's that standard like compared to the First Division? And I suppose if we looked at that opening game, already Portadown have been touted as being the winners of the Championship because they've strengthened up, they're a good team. So mm-hmm. It was a game which had a very high standard from the outset. And is it too early even to compare it to League of Ireland football?
Yeah, maybe I haven't seen enough of it quite yet. Like, you know, I suppose, like, other teams, you know, all teams will have their philosophies and how they want to play. You know, Portadown played a very direct style, especially in the first half. You know, they've come down from the NI Premier League last year. They've strengthened since they've come down. They've, you know, they seem to have their bank balance seems quite high in terms of their investment, and, you know, they're bringing in real quality. You know, we weren't really too sure. I suppose we're a very new team, and, you know, it's basically, I think, maybe two or three lads from last year have remained, and the rest of us are all new. So it's going to take time for us to gel and for us to, you know, find our feet and what our philosophy is going to be and how we're going to implement it. I suppose we won 1-0 up in that game, and, you know, we're quite comfortable, and, you know, a mistake just before half time sort of let them back into it and sort of changed things, changed definitely the flow of the game. They went 3-1 up into the second half, and, you know, we got one back in late on, and then we're sort of pushing near the end. So it's encouraging from that point of view. Say, you know, we've got a nice mix of youth and experience there as well. So we've got a big game coming up now at the weekend. I got a derby game against Ballymallard, so that's one to look forward to. And I'd say, look, it'll take a few weeks for us to settle and sort of see where we are. But no, we're happy enough, I suppose, with the start we made.
Yeah. Was it an easy enough decision by Tommy to, when they heard that you were going to become free from Harps to bring you in? Is it something they jumped at?
I have to ask Tommy that. You know, I suppose there wasn't
Was there much discussion over it, or did it happen? Did it happen very quickly?
Yeah, I spoke to Tommy a few times. You know, I suppose there was a few conversations between myself and Dave as well, and you know, you're kind of thinking, I suppose, ideally and I suppose romantically about the whole thing. It would be nice to finish at Harps, you know, it would be nice to see out the season and you know, to finish up there. I suppose that's where I started and, you know, it would have been nice. But I just felt that, as I said before, you know, the commitment that it would have taken, you know, and then to maybe, you know, was it made clear that I wasn't going to play as much as I like it might have been. But, you know, I guess that's down to, it has to benefit the team, it has to benefit everybody. And I just felt that, I say, the time that I was going to have to commit to it, you know, the places I was going to have to travel to, you know, and then, you know, I guess it would be just kind of difficult, I suppose, to do all that and then maybe not get your game of football at the end of the week, because that's what we do it for.
Did you leave in good terms?
Did
you leave the club in
good
terms?
Yeah, I did.
Because it's a place that's close to your heart, like, so you spend a lot of time there.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And there's a way back there for me. You know, I had good conversations with Dave and, you know, although I was frustrated maybe at times, but, you know, and, you know, maybe he was frustrated with me at times as well, which is, you know, I'm far from perfect. But, you know, oh, there's definitely a way back. You know, we've had good chats about it, and, you know, he's made it clear that he wants me back at the club and some role in the not so distant future. So look,
do you see yourself as a future coach at Harps or future manager at Harps?
Who knows? You know, I suppose I saw myself playing there at the end of the season and that changed rather quickly. So, look, it's definitely something that I would like to give something back to the club. You know, I've had a lot of great times there, you know, a lot of good promotions and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, worked with a lot of good people up there and, you know, made a lot of good mates up there from the playing side of it and that as well. So, look, it's definitely a place that, you know, I feel I would like to give something back to. Look, a lot of things can happen between now and then. As I say, I'm a busier man now as well, so we have to look at that side of things as well.
Okay, then, what did you make of Harps' performance on Monday night against Athlone Town? Because things have changed, obviously, over the last number of weeks, where he's brought in a lot of new players, and they got some decent results, but they came back down to earth with a bang on Monday night at Athlone, Keith.
Yeah, Athlone's a tough place to go. I think, you know, if you know the league and you know the teams around it, like, there's not too many teams go there and get much. I think Galway scraped a 1-0 there. You know, the runaway league leaders scraped a 1-0. Waterford went there, maybe got a point, I think, on their last visit. So it's a very tough place to go. And if you're not right going there, then, you know, you're going to get turned over. And unfortunately, that was the case for Harps on Monday night. You know, Dave came out and said himself it was the worst performance of the season. Yeah.
Is that a bit overcritical on the team from him?
Maybe. But he expects, you know, he has high standards, I suppose, of this team. And, you know, he's brought in a lot of new players in the window. And he has, you know, expectations of these players. And I'm 100% sure they know that. Mm-hmm. So I suppose maybe after, you know, getting a point against Galway on Friday night before that, you know, maybe there was, you know, and it can happen to players at times, maybe they get a little carried away with, you know, that, you know, marginal success, because I suppose it was a good result for them to, you know, for Galway to come and for Harps to get a point against them. Maybe could have not won the game. Maybe we'll be frustrated that he didn't win the game, you know, with Galway being down to 10 men for such a long period. But after that positive result, you know, then you have to go and back that up. And I suppose it showed early on that, you know, there's maybe a little fatigue, or, you know, the concentration levels weren't there. I suppose, you know, going on half-time 4-1 down is difficult.
Is it difficult playing Friday, Monday?
Oh, it is. It is, yeah. Well, you know, at almost 38, it's definitely difficult playing Friday, Monday. You know, if you're used to it, you know, throughout the seasons, you know, you just have to make those sacrifices. You got to make sure you're getting everything right from Friday to Monday with your recovery.
But for that young group, because they're such young men, a Friday Monday game shouldn't be that big an issue, should it?
Well, I suppose not. If you're looking to make it, you know, and a lot of these guys will have aspirations of going further than Balbuffet and their careers, you know, and I know that for a fact, but. Yeah, you have to be able to go to be able to make sure you're doing it Friday and then be able to turn up on Monday, you know, no matter what you're going, what you're doing. you know, they would have seen that probably as an opportunity to, you know, to back up the result, to get something at Athlone. But I said, it's a tough place to go. They have very good players, are well organised. And unfortunately, they just didn't seem up to the task on Monday night.
Well, they have a chance to redeem themselves after that disappointing performance, because they're playing Treaty on Friday night at home. 8 o'clock is the kickoff time. Jeremy Doherty will have live regular updates from that tie here on Highland tomorrow night. But Treaty is a side that they've beat twice. They've scored 5 goals against them, Keith. So it's a game that Harps will look to maybe start building this momentum again.
I suppose, look, that's the key phrase, isn't it? As momentum, and you know, it's something that can turn shift very quite easily. Look, I think Treaty is one that they'll be looking to pick up 3 points in. As you say, you know, we've beaten them twice earlier this season. I think Aaron McLaughlin scored his first goal down there earlier in the summer, and it was a good result, and it was a great performance that night to go down there and to win that. So look, this is, I think if they were to pick a fixture, this might be one that they would be looking to bounce back from and pick up 3 points.
There is 4 games taking place on Friday, but probably the standout game, Waterford against Galway United. Everybody's concurring that Galway's going to be champions, but will Waterford look to make some sort of statement against the Westerners on Friday? That's the big game of the weekend.
Yeah, they'll try, I suppose, you know, being the home side as well. Look, they always have a big turnover of players there, you know, being paired with, I think it's Fleetwood over in England as well. So, you know, I think there's some rumblings as well that their star striker, Coughlin, might be moving on. He might be moving across the water. So, look, they'll be wanting to, I suppose, narrow the gap between themselves and Galway. Galway, you know, seem quite focused, and, you know, even, I suppose, going down to 10 men last week, we kind of spoke about they're very organised, they're quite animated on the sidelines from John Coughlin and Ollie Horgan, like, so, John Caulfield and Ollie, we know what how they like to, I suppose, referee the game from their point of view as well. So now, look, it'll be a good game. Can Waterford say narrow the gap, like we said? We'll just have to wait and see.
When your coaching time comes, can you referee a game from a sideline? Can you? Would you be that type of?
I suppose you have to try and use everything at your disposal to try and maybe. I think there's different ways of doing it. You know, some managers get animated. Some, you know, try and play it cool, and then, you know, speak to them. Maybe when they're walking off the pitch, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, I think. Yeah. So just all depends on your personality.
Well, that's to come down the line. But less more present Derby one would be nice. The first one for the County Tyrone side with Keith Cowan on board would be the target one at the weekend.
Definitely, yeah. You know, what's to say, we're working during the week on a few things there. We'll be training again tonight, and you know, all the Derby games always have an extra, add a bit of spice, and I'm sure the crowd, there was a big crowd actually for the Portadown game last weekend, so we'll be expecting something similar this week, and hopefully get the first 3 points on the board.
Okay, best of luck with it. Thanks for joining us today, Keith.
Cheers, Ash, and thank you.
There you go, that's Keith called into studio earlier today before he headed away to train and joining us for our football talk this week. Okay, with a ad break to catch up on. It's Thursday evening. This is the Score programme on Highland. It's bang on 30 minutes past 7 o'clock. Still to come on the programme, we're going to be talking to Sean McFadden, organiser of the Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra 555 race, which starts at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And up next, we're going to preview this weekend's hurling finals, all after these.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the programme as we focus in on Gaelic games. It's going to be a busy day at the Donal Park on Saturday with the hurling finals, the championship finals taking place. We talked about those earlier today with a man that has won the championship as a manager with St. Eunan's, has also had success with Donegal previously as well. He's a Clare native who now lives in Donegal, and he's been Highland's hurling match analyst through the course of the year as well. That's Eugene Organ. Eugene Organ, welcome along to the Score programme.
Thanks, Ashton. Good to be here.
Number of big games obviously coming up this weekend on the hurling front. 3 finals, a triple header at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. We've got the likes of McCool's and Carindona to start things off with the Intermediate Cup. Then we've got the Junior. Burt are taking on St. Eunan's, and then St. Eunan's will play Satanta in the Senior. And I suppose we'll start with the Junior, because that's a game that you're going to be involved in, Eugene. You decided a number of years ago to take up management and hang up the hurl, but You were encouraged to get back on the playing field again. So you are now. You find yourself within touching distance of getting another championship medal.
Yeah, well, I suppose I kind of distanced myself there the year after we won it. But then when you start going back around, down around, you start hitting a ball or two, you kind of get a bit of hunger back again. So junior now is a nice level for me to be back at. So yeah, look, 60 minutes, and I suppose it'd be nice to get another championship medal, but I'd say we're fairly up against it now.
Right, okay. How have you played out this year? What's the year been like for you, Eugene?
It's been up and down. You know, like with the two teams, you know, we're kind of borrowing players from the senior extended panel, and then it just depends on our younger lads and who's working, who's here, who's there. So junior can be a bit up and down. We did enough to get through to the semi-final stage, and then we beat Satanta there last weekend. So again, we're, I suppose, in an enviable position where we're going to lose three or four of our players to the senior panel, because you need to keep them fresh for the senior game coming on. I suppose Burton had the luxury of, they have their subs from the senior team to come back into their junior team. Plus, they have so much experience there, like with so many players who have, you know, multiples of 10 county medals in their pockets already. You know,
yeah. Have you played Burt already this season? You haven't.
Yeah, we played them down in Hibernian. We played them there. It was a pretty close game. You know, there wasn't an awful lot in it on the night. Maybe 2 or 3 points. Look, they're a very experienced team in a lot of ways, but then they have a nice mixture of younger players who are very fit, very fast. You know, kind of give the ball and move on. So they're coming. I think that they're coming, and they're probably coming in as favourites, which is probably justified.
Yeah. What position are you playing at the minute, Eugene?
It could be a multitude of positions. Really, it's normally full forward. Put the ball in around me and might get a break off one of the younger lads, or hopefully catch in the hand. But between full forward and centre forward is generally where I operate.
Okay. Listen, you're on co-commentary for the senior game. Mickey McCann's going to join us as well, but he's playing in this junior final too. Are you going to be anywhere near him on the pitch come Saturday, or is he up the other end?
No, hopefully it's Mickey. He'll probably be up to the other end. But look, he's a very experienced player. He could come out around the middle or drop a little bit deeper just to mop up ball, because he's well able to read the game, you know, and there's still plenty of life in them legs yet, you know.
Yeah. Mickey, of course, was always a talented hurler, but I would say there's good banter between you guys, is there?
Ah, yeah, you do. Look, I have great respect for all those lads that played against them for so many years, you know, coming up from Clare, like, you know, coming up here, you wouldn't have heard a lot about Donegal hurling, but then when you came up and you met and saw the likes of Mickey McCann, Niall Campbell, Kieran Dowd, just to mention a few playing, you're saying, you know, there's some serious hurlers up here. So no, we enjoy the crack, all right. On the field, we might be the nicest to each other, but then once the 60 minutes is over, we shake hands and talk for that in a bit.
Yeah, well, listen, you two boys have a broadcast job to do on Saturday for the senior game, so don't be falling out in the pitch on me, Eugene.
We make no promises, but we try not to.
You see Bert then as favourites going into this junior game. Is it fair to say the big match, the senior match, the way they've played this year, the quality of player that they had, that Satanta are favourites for the senior title again?
Yeah, I would just say they are. They'll probably be the bookies' favourites. You know, you look down through their team, every one of them at some point has worn the county jersey. You know, really, really experienced at this level. Should have been the last 5 or 6 county finals. You know, it's just kind of an annual date in their calendar to come to O'Donnell Park or wherever. You know, they're just so, so experienced. Even their younger fellas now, like Rory Campbell, has played in with the county. They played in the league final this year, then played in Croke Park in the Nicky Rackard final. You know, they have so much experience all over the field, and really, really clinical forwards up front. So yeah, Unions, look, they have a real, real battle on their hands, and Satanta just would be the favourites, I think.
Yeah, obviously they've a top quality forward line, Satanta, but it's all about sort of trying to stop the delivery, and there so it is as well. Eugene, how do you go about that against a team of so much quality?
Yeah, well, I suppose the one thing every forward likes is plenty of space. So look, there's going to you're going to have to cut up space, number one, but the pressure has to come on up the field. Put pressure on their half-back line, midfield. Don't let the likes of Danny Cullen on the ball with time to put the head up and play a 40, 50-yard ball into the corner to the likes of Rory Campbell or Gerard Gilmore or someone like that, because you won't stop them then. Unions are going to have to work really, really hard for 60, 65 minutes, whatever the clock is. and put as much pressure as they can, so that Setanta are hitting under pressure, and maybe the balls won't be then as pinpointed, so it gives the our backs a chance, you know.
Yeah, back in 2001, it's not that long ago, Eugene, the St Unions won the Donegal Senior Hurling title. It was the first for a very, very long time. Can the current St Unions group take some sort of inspiration from what happened a couple of years ago if they are to pull off what would be seen as a shock?
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, as I would have always said, you know, everyone can be beaten on a particular day. You know, look, the hoodoo or the monkeys off their back is regards, you know, they were going to be the team that was just always going to be the nearly lads, you know. They have the county title. They have the confidence of winning that day. Look, they've lost a couple of players. They may not have been as strong as we were back there. But, yeah, look, they're going to have to play over their skins for the 60 minutes just to get over the line, I think, you know.
Playing at home, looking to make home advantage count, but there's that much hurling played at the O'Donnell Park, and all these players have had so many occasions there that it doesn't really become a factor in the game, does it, Eugene?
No, like all the county games are played there, the semi-finals are played there, the finals are played there, you know. Look, there's only even during the championship there, there's home and away, so look, it's a home away from home for the Setanta lads as well, like, so I don't think it counts for anything really on the day, you know.
Yeah. Okay then, just before we finish up then, call both matches, the winners this coming weekend, Eugene.
Look, there's going to be two titanic struggles, I do believe. Like, if Unions in the senior game, if they bring the game in order to play and put unbelievable pressure on Setanta over the 60, it's going to be very close. But I still think just the clinical experience of the forwards, like Jared Gilmore, Declan Coulter and them, up front, is just going to swing it by a score or two for Setanta. In the junior game, then, I think the fact that we've lost four or five of our starting players to the senior panel, and say Burt have gained those three or four, I'll just give Burt a nod there reluctantly.
I was waiting for you to tell me that Eugene Organ was going to score 2-5 and St Unions were going to take the junior title, Eugene. That would be a nice day, nice story.
Sure. We live in hope. You know?
Okay. Listen, we look forward to watching you play on Saturday, and we look forward to the commentary as well. Once again, here in Highland, the senior match, Setanta against St Unions, full live match commentary from the 6 o'clock start. And joining me in the commentary position will be two men this weekend. Eugene's going to be one. Mickey McCann's going to be the other. Hopefully, they'll not fall out during the junior game, which starts at 4 o'clock. Eugene, we look forward to Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Oisin. Chat to you then. Bye-bye.
There you go. Eugene Organ speaking to me ahead of those finals which are taking place this weekend. Elsewhere, Gaelic games-wise, the championship continues in Derry tomorrow night, Friday. At intermediate level, Glenullen will play St Malachy's Castle Dawson. And there's two junior matches with Ardmore against Drum, and Derry Trasna are playing Sean Dolan's. Intermediate and senior games will then continue Saturday and Sunday in Derry. It's also Buncrana Cup finals weekend in the Buncrana Cup under 16 decider. Tyrone are taking on Armagh. That's down in Buncrana. 1:30 is the start time on Saturday afternoon. Donegal are involved in the Shield final against Down, which is at 12 noon in Buncrana. And then in Tyrone, the Derry Lachlan Cup under 15 final will see a derby between two northwest sides, with Donegal taking on Tyrone, and that one gets underway on Saturday at 2:30 as well. So we move now to cycling. The 8th edition of the Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra Race, a challenging 555 and 333 kilometre route along the rugged and beautiful Donegal Wild Atlantic Way coastline, is taking place this weekend. They are, of course, set to go on some of the, the scenic roadways of Donegal. This includes Malin Head, Mamour Gap, Knockall Atlantic Drive, Horn Head, Glen Gesh, Sleeve League, Barnesmore Gap, just to name a few. The headquarters, of course, is in the Ballyrain area of Letterkenny at the Mount Errigal Hotel. And the first rider away tomorrow morning will be at 5 o'clock. Sean McFadden, of course, is race organiser of the event. And Sean was to be here in studio, but he's been working that hard that he forgot all about me, but we've got him on the phone. Sean, I take it preparations are going well and they're keeping you busy.
Oisin, sorry. I'm so sorry, but yeah, the preparations are going well and you've given me goose pimples just listening to the terrain and the mountains and the climate that people are going to have to go through tomorrow. It's just like, I don't know, they're crazy.
And they certainly are, and you're not far behind them, to tell you the honest truth, Sean. But listen, what's happening tonight for the competitors and for obviously their support crews?
Well, at the moment, I'm just sitting out at the Mount Eagle here. We were building the ramp there for the last couple of hours, and car check was flat out at LK Bikes, and we're just waiting on four more people to sign on. Everybody signed on. They've got the number. They've got their race packs. The stage is set. And we're looking forward to another edition of the 555/333. And the way it's shaping up at the minute, it's really going to be some race up front, and just the race in general for people to tick the box to compete. Just as you said there, it's like it's every single climb that you can think of in Donegal is in this race, you know, and they have to take it on. And it's going to be challenging, you know, and hopefully the weather is nice to them. At the minute, it's raining here at the Mount Errigal, but let's see.
Yeah, okay. Me and you were talking off air this week in preparation for this, and you dropped the name Ronan McLaughlin, he was possibly going to take part this weekend. I heard something yesterday that that's not happening. But where is it with Ronan McLaughlin, the man that loves to break records? Is he going to come? Is he not going to come? Is he going to be here tomorrow?
He's not coming. He's not coming, Oisin. Unfortunately, last night Well, congratulations to Ronan. We all know Ronan, what he's like. He comes to set a target, and he comes to set a blistering pace and set a record. And unfortunately, he can't be here. They've had a new baby, and he's only a couple of days old, and things, I suppose, sleepless nights. And you know, when he seen us doing the bag pack and everything else, he was always on the wing of coming. And then when he seen us setting the bags and packing the bags, he got excited and he thought, I can do it. But then the next night he had a sleepless night, and then he said to me, Sean, I just don't think it's possible, you know. So
he was getting excited and we were getting excited, Sean, but unfortunately Ronan can't take part this year. There's no doubt that you're going to have him tortured for the next 12 months for next year.
Of course.
But listen, there is people taking part in this event this year. Who do we need to watch out for now over from tomorrow morning, Sean?
Even when I was at LK Bike last night, you know, a few heads went down because when the new Ronan was coming, that would be the one out the window, and then Ronan's dropped out, and now the morale is back up again with the local riders, you know, Sean McDade from Drumkeen there, and you've got Christopher Burney from Cranford, and you've got other names that we're not unsure of, you know, that's coming from Cork and from Emmyvale and places like that, that they're only testing the water. So it's opened the door for somebody, you know what I mean, and to win the 333 or to win the 555. It's, for some of them, it's probably going to be the biggest one of their career, you know what I mean, and endurance cycling, to be fair, you know, because you know yourself, we've had the Joe Barrs here, we've had the Ronan McLaughlins, and we've had the Jason Blacks, and we've had a lot of endurance riders come here to do this race, and some of them haven't succeeded. So for somebody tomorrow to lift the trophy of the 555 and the 333, it's going to be incredible, you know?
Yeah, the teams as well, Sean. There'll be big interest in
teams
that.
Interest in the teams. Big derby in the teams. Local teams again, big derby. You know, I mean, LK Bikes have a team in. Kevin Holyan and his brother's got a team in. Troy Haggerty and Martin Jordan's got a team in. And these boys train together all year round, you know? And we've got a team from Monaghan in it. We've got a team from Mullarty. There's some teams here that come to set very fast times, and hopefully the weather it holds up them, you know. So it's exciting. You were at the Mount Eric over at headquarters. There's people in there. They're stocking up on pasta. They're getting their bags packed and they're packing their vans here. And I'm just standing back and I'm watching them, and everybody's got their own agenda, and they just can't wait to get off the ramp.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody's their own agenda. Everybody's doing this for. Most of them's doing it for different reasons, to raise money for charity. I'm going to give him a friend of mine I mentioned, Joe Hunter. There's no doubt he's a better man than me because he's getting on this bike and he's doing 333 kilometres. He was telling me today he's starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And Joe wouldn't be known for have been a man on a bike up until the last six to 9 months. And he's doing it in aid of a very good cause for motor neuron. Research and he's also doing it in memory of his late father-in-law Dermot Donoghue. So that's just one story. So Joe's brilliant. We just wish Joe all the best, and we wish everybody else all the best, Sean, that's doing it and have a special reason like that why they're taking on this challenge.
Of course. You know, and you know the 5-5, every year we always have special stories. And Joe's one, for example. And Joe has crewed in this race for so many years. And it's amazing to see Joe go to the line. You know, I was chatting him in LK Bikes yesterday. He was a bit nervous and he was getting things checked over. And he didn't have a lot of words. I wanted to have an interview with him, you know, and he didn't want to do an interview with me. And I understand that, but like, there's so many good stories that come out of the 555, and that's what it's about. And I think that's why it's so special, because, you know, people do it on memory of people that's passed, and they're doing it on for different different charities, and it's great, you know, it's fantastic. And I suppose, Austin, just again, you know, as I said before, we can't do this without yourselves, the support that you give us, the papers, the Mount Errigal, LK Bikes, all the sponsors that have come on board this year, and sponsors in the past. You know, we don't forget about them. And I know, you know, people can't keep sponsoring events every single year, and we understand that, you know what I mean? But we're grateful for everybody that's helped out, you know what I mean? And this is why we're still here, you know, 8 years on, and we can't believe it, you know, and it's going stronger and stronger every year. And, you know, and we will keep putting the event on, and people keep coming back, and people enjoy it. And that coastline is incredible. It's probably one of the best coastlines in the world to cycle around. You know
what's, what I mean? What's the toughest part of it, Sean? Is it Glengesh? Is it Hornhead? Is it Mamour? What is the hardest part of this? Is it the way home on a headwind coming up through?
It's definitely, it's in the middle of the night when you've got 350 kilometers in your legs. That is the challenging part. The toughest part is the middle of the night, and then there's one man on your shoulder saying stop, and there's another man on your shoulder just keep going. And, you know, some people go too hard. The first section of the 555 is testing, because you leave the ramp, you're gone for 9 hours, you come back and you pass the ramp and you look down and you think, oh my God, I still have to carry on for another 300 kilometers here. You know what I mean? That's bound to be, for me, that's the toughest thing. I hate doing out and back courses. I like to get away and not come back to the finish line, where they have to pass the finish line. And as we've seen before, Conor Dunn a couple of years ago, he did the first section, he come back, he pulled into the Mount Errigal, and he nearly stayed here for 2 hours. He was absolutely shattered at that stage, you know what I mean? And this guy has read the Welter, read the Giro, he's done all the big races in the world, and he just couldn't come out of the hotel again. So passing the hotel, probably for me, is probably the toughest part.
Yeah. When are you going to do this, Sean?
Never. Not a hope. You know, listen, someday, when it's over, when the 555 and the 3CV is over and done and there is no more, I might go someday and when I'm in my 60s and say, I'll go away for a couple of days and I'll do it myself and just disappear.
Well, listen, you're going to have a busy weekend. The very best of luck to everyone competing, be it the teams, be it the individuals on the 555 or the 333s, those that are doing it for charity, because it's a crazy mammoth challenge to take on, and we wish everybody the very best of luck with it. 5 o'clock start tomorrow morning. The best luck to you and your team, to Eugene and all
thank
those
you.
That are involved as well. Sean, have a safe one.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
There you go, Sean McFadden, organizer of the Donegal Ultra, which starts in the early hours of tomorrow morning. Good luck to everybody involved there. Just some other sporting fixtures this coming weekend, athletics wise. National Masters Track and Field Championships are on in Tullamore and County Offaly. They took place on Saturday, the 12th of August. There has, of course, been national success for Donegal athletes at senior and at a junior level over the course of the last couple of weeks. The Masters, it's their turn now this weekend, and they're hoping for medals as well, podium finishes, and maybe the odd record thrown in too, to come back to the Northwest on Saturday evening. Due to the weather, finally, that's been... We've had July, it's crazy weather altogether in July, very, very wet. Wasn't cricket weather, so there was a lot of games postponed. So the Northwest Cricket Union have now refixed matches. It's going to be a double weekend. Hopefully they'll get better weather Saturday on Sunday. There's a full programme on Saturday and a full programme of the Premier League on Sunday as well. Among the games, the leaders, Brady, are taking on Fox Lodge on Saturday, and then on Sunday, They're heading to Brigade. Second place, Ardmore, are away to Eglinton on Saturday and will host Bods Glen on Sunday. And Killy Clooney have two games as well. They sit third in the table. They're playing host to Donegal Club St Johnstone on Saturday and away to Coleraine on Sunday. There is, of course, lots of other games to be played cricket-wise in the Northwest as well. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you'll be able to recap shortly on our website, highlandradio.com. Up next, we're going to have Jimmy Stafford on the way after the news at 8 o'clock. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.